Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Ellie Gibson.
It's me, Helen Thorne.
And who have we got today?
Harriet Kemsley.
Hello, Harriet Kemsley.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, lovely to have you. Now, we have met before, Harriet. Do you even remember that?
I do, but it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. I think I gigged with you at the Cavendish Arms.
Oh my goodness.
Which, for anyone who's not familiar, please remain that way. It's a strange Stockwell,
isn't it?
Yes, it's an intense experience. And when you go to watch the comedy there, there's 43 comedians all doing... But they're meant to do 5 minutes and they all do around 22 minutes and it's a long...
And you're always on 42nd. It doesn't...
Exactly. Whatever happens, you'll always be last. And you have to bring a friend and stay there all night and it's a very intense, long evening. And you get some real interesting opinions and
some real interesting people.
Yes, some real interesting characters. It's a fun time.
And a lot of young men talking about wanking.
I'd say half.
I think we should put together a bit of a Cavendish Arms bingo, and I think you can tick it off in about the first 8 seconds.
Oh, but, who would do jokes about wanking, Helen?
I've really progressed. Well, I learned a lot from those young men, Ellie. I'm not going to say a bad word against them.
Yeah,
they really inspired me.
You talk about drawing your foreskin back, though. I don't know if that really works.
No, anyway. Look, it's worth a punt. But they're the formative years, aren't they? We should introduce Harriet properly. She's a stand-up comedian, podcaster. An actor and mother.
Yes.
And seemed to launch herself back into the Edinburgh Fringe. Why are you doing that, Harriet?
What is wrong with me?
You're doing the full run, lad.
I make bad choices. It's what we've learned so far. Yeah, I thought it'd be a really good idea to have a 6-month-old baby and go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for a month.
It's not a good idea to have a 6-month-old baby and do anything, to be honest. You might as well just lock yourself in the toilet with it and just have done with it. Some mini baby bells. You'd be fine. And of those things, so we mentioned they're comedian, podcaster, actor and mother. What's the pie chart of Harriet Kemsley looking like at the moment? What percentage is mother? What percentage is comedian? Or are you going, what the fuck is this stupid woman talking about? I'm all of those things.
I think sleep is a tiny little section of it.
Right.
There's not much sleep. But then I'm back doing stand-up. But the thing is with it is the lucky thing with our job generally is that you can often run out for a few hours and run back while the baby's asleep. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, you just or leave it in the car. That's what I used to do.
Or just leave it in the car.
Crack a window.
Yeah.
Give it an iPad and
people
some Haribos.
I'm more upset about a dog in a car than a baby. So it's really, that really helps, you know.
Yeah.
As long as I don't leave my dog in the car, we're fine.
Yeah,
no one
yeah.
will complain. So basically, stand up and baby at the moment is the thing. Trying to get this show on the road.
And so, because you have to book Edinburgh, you made the decision to do Edinburgh while you're still pregnant?
Yes.
Silly girl.
It's really, really, really silly. I think, to be honest, it's been good. I think what's been good, so I went back to work really quickly within a few weeks. But what's lucky is we can pick and choose what we do quite a lot. And it's not like you have to go leave early in the morning, come back late at night and do that for 5 days in a row often.
Yeah.
You can just kind of dip in and out. And 1 month after we had her, we started doing stand-up. And so my husband is also a comedian, so we would bring her to the club. And the clubs were amazing. Like, we would sit in the green room with her, and one of us would open and one of us would close, and then we'd go back. And at the time, I can't believe we did it. But I think what was good is that I was so worried about losing my identity or not being able to, or not wanting to do it, whereas I just kind of threw myself like headfirst into it, and because of that it's now normal. Whereas I think I would have found it really hard if I'd had all that lovely time off with the baby and then had to go. So now there is a balance, and I feel like I've got the best of both and the worst of both.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, having... So your husband's called Bobby Mayer, is that right?
Yes.
I did like... I did see some stand-up where you said, I didn't want to change my name. I don't want to be Mrs. Mayer. Mrs. Mayer, who has bees. It was so funny. That's so patronising. That is a very funny joke, Harriet. Is that easier or worse at having a stand-up comedian as a husband?
I think we've made a terrible mistake. We both should have married lawyers, basically. Yes. Someone that has a really solid job, and someone that leaves so that you have space from each other. I think that is the healthy thing to do. I think it's good in a way in that we're both quite flexible, so we can be like, you watch her now and then I go do this thing, like I come here and then I'll get home and then he'll go do his thing and then I have shows tonight, so then he'll watch her. Or no, actually we have a babysitter tonight, so it is a lot. We now have a joint calendar, which is the most organized we've ever been.
Extraordinary.
Absolutely. Look at us go. It's crazy. I think I wouldn't recommend it. I hear of all these people that have partners that have day jobs and then the partner is just at home with the baby in the evening, and that seems really smart.
And then you see each other for about an hour a day. Ideal.
A lovely hour rather than a resentful full day.
You do it.
Yeah, exactly. Your turn.
I'm more tired.
But then your marriage lasts longer because it takes you longer to hit the number of hours. You know, the average for when people get break up, was it 12 years or something?
Yeah, we'll get there quicker.
Well, if you're only seeing each other for an hour a day, then you might get 20. You might get 20 out of
that. That's why the pandemic really sped things up for divorce for people.
I think people go,
oh, no, you're a cunt. Yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
I didn't realise.
Oh, damn it.
You've got to put the hours in to really find out who's a cunt. Yeah.
And you did a TV show together, didn't you? Bobby and Harriet Get Married.
We don't do things easily, I will say. So, yeah, we got the commission for the show 3 months before we got married. And so we were getting married and filming the show and writing the show. And it was chaos. But it was very fun and we're very proud of it. But it was a very... those two things are stressful, and then you combine them and chaos.
Yeah. I did love the bit where which magazine did you ring up to try and get sponsorship of your wedding? It's excellent. Do tell the listener about this.
I can't remember if it was OK or Hello magazine, but I rang up one of them to try and because like it was a way, like, so how we did it, it was like, we say it's like a reality drama, so it was like, it was like a reality comedy, so like it was a sitcom, like it was like planned, like we did everything,
but
like
reality.
It's based on our life. And what we could do is we could take arguments that had happened a few years previous and then redo them. So in a way it was kind of healthy because we could like write lines for each other or be like, I wish I'd said this in this moment.
Oh my god, and then that's amazing.
It was very brilliant in that way. And so then in that scene I was trying to make money for the wedding because we didn't have any money, and so I called them to try and get them to come and film the wedding, and I was trying to tell them that Bobby was a celebrity and they did not agree. So we got into a bit of a conversation that was one of the funnest bits, working with kind of real people that didn't quite know what was happening.
Yeah, and you went to great lengths. You even got a Brazilian, or was it a Hollywood?
I think it was Brazilian, because my friend was in the room.
No, like I've got a little hip moustache just above your entrance.
Well, it's Hollywood where...
Completely bald. All Barbie,
That was before my laser hair years, which have come since, which I really recommend. I did that. I think I just have no shame. I think in hindsight, you listing these things, I'm like, wow, I really need to...
No. That's something I think we never had.
So sometimes people say to us, if we're wearing a particularly tight catsuit or we've told a particularly filthy joke, they'll go, do you know, I think you're so brave. You are so brave. Like, as if we've survived cancer. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, you're
so brave.
Yeah.
And, like, we go, no, because bravery means you have something. You have courage, you possess a thing. We lack something.
Yes.
And that something is pride.
That's
we just
it.
Have
I
no
lack
shame.
Pride. Thank you for naming it. Thank you for finally.
Just learn something.
Yeah. Pride and shame.
Yeah,
and therefore, you know, there are no boundaries.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
I don't know what it's like to live your life otherwise, really. That's what I've always done, but I quite enjoy it. So.
Mm. Oh. So were you start? When did you start out in comedy? When was the.
So it's like over 10 years ago now. So, I've been doing it a really long time. So before that, I was trying to do like acting. Like, so I thought I was a serious actor, but nobody agreed. And they would just laugh when I was trying to be serious. And I was like, guys, this is like a serious thing.
I'm feeling very sad. Exactly. I'm angry. Yeah. They're like, no, you're silly.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I started writing bits. And then it was actually my mum and dad that suggested I do stand-up, which was wild because they didn't know anything about stand-up and neither did I. And they watched Live at the Apollo and then they suggested that I should go do it. And I was like, this is crazy. And they were like, no, just like, you're always like mad, awful things always happen to you and it's quite funny, so like you should go and like talk about it.
Mm.
And so I went and did it and just loved it.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
So you're going to Edinburgh this summer, as we said. Tell us about your new show, Harriet.
Going to Edinburgh, so I have a new show. So it's called Honeysuckle Island. So it's based on, I found this leaflet that I designed when I was 11 and it was like this dream holiday destination. So it had like everything you'd want as like an 11-year-old, like monkeys and zip lines and waterfalls. It was like perfect. But then I looked at it closely and in the corner I'd drawn a cellulite machine. Oh. And I was like, and I'd spelt cellulite right and island wrong. And I was like, something about my priorities at that age. It's,
yeah.
I just couldn't
at
believe 11, that
at
11
like,
that I was aware. And firstly, a cellulite machine, I don't think that's a real thing, like I'd invented it. And secondly, like it was just mad that I knew about it. And then now having a daughter, kind of looking at how she's going to grow up and like how little has kind of changed or how in any way that like, has kind of gone sideways. So that's kind of what the show is about.
Mm. Yeah. Because do you think having a daughter has kind of impacted on how you see the world? Like,
yeah.
I had a daughter first, and I must admit, like, I wanted to be a better person by having her. Not that I'd say, Ellie's got boys now, I'm sounding like a prick, but I was like, I have to be strong and amazing for you. Like, the world is really harsh. And, it really, really transformed how I saw the world. I don't know. Yeah, because you must feel that, like, so protective of her.
Absolutely. When you look at kind of all the things that she's going to have to go to that I didn't even think about and like all these pressures that are going to be on her and also like all the scary things that are out there having a daughter, it just felt really overwhelming. And also, yeah, I completely agree that like you have to be strong for them. So it's like rather than just be like my useless self, I'm like, I've got to pull myself together, I guess, and be a role model.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Bullshit.
No. I do love that you've spoken quite openly about your dyspraxia. And in the lead up to you coming on the podcast about the people who booked you were saying, oh, you were feeling a bit anxious about becoming a mother and having dyspraxia because you've got to hold a precious thing. You can't just fall over.
I know, exactly.
What is dyspraxia? How do you define it? What does it mean
so
to you?
It just basically means your like spatial awareness is very off and like you're not very good at moving, but also like your brain, your thinking can be a bit off as well. I think it just you're in that kind of neurodivergent, is it a circle? Spectrum, that's
yeah.
the word, yeah. Mm. I'm naturally very clumsy, so it was quite, it just felt really scary. So like when I was pregnant, I fell down the stairs, and like I've fallen down the stairs many times in my life, but I was like, fuck, I can't fall down the stairs anymore, like I've got to stop falling down the stairs, and like things like that, and like driving, like just the pressure of keeping a baby safe just feels so mad. But I can fall over and like make loads of mistakes, but it's like I can't do that with a baby. So that has been one of the hardest bits of it, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I'll go back. So what else are you sort of tackling in Honeysuckle? Is it really looking at the beauty industry, or what sort of else are you kind of...
Yeah, so
have you written it yet, Harriet?
We've got 2 weeks, haven't we?
Yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine. Yeah.
So it's looking at the beauty industry and it's looking at being a mum. And so it's kind of, it combines the two things. It talks about... having my baby, it talks about kind of wearing makeup and like whether you're a bad person, like if I'm wearing makeup, because my husband was like, are you still gonna wear makeup now that we've got a daughter? And I was like, oh my God, like...
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because I never even thought about it.
Yes. I've never really thought
about it. I never really thought about it. Well, in my head, I was like, I felt terrible. And I was like, I need to stop wearing makeup. Like, this is so bad. And then I was like, hang on a minute. Like, he watches porn with, like, women in loads of makeup. So, like, what? Like, I was like, as soon as you stop doing that, then I'll stop wearing makeup. And...
You start watching porn with women with no makeup.
Yeah.
And then we'll
call
it quits.
That's what I'd say. Yeah, exactly. As soon as they're like just very natural and tired, then I will stop. And he hasn't brought it up since. So
I think that's a good defence, actually. I think fucking wear the makeup. I think feminism is about having choices, isn't it?
Yeah, not I about think that's it. And that's what I'm trying to look into. It's like, what is the choice and what is society trying to trick us? That's the that's the problem.
We talk about that a lot. I've never really had an issue with the makeup thing, and I say, as a blanket thing, I'd say whatever everybody wants to do is really their business. It's not really my business. But I've always worn makeup and I don't really care. But then, and to me, it's like, it's no different to maybe like having a haircut now and again.
I agree, I do usually wear makeup, by the way. It's just because this is quite early. I didn't want to be like, and now I don't wear makeup, because what my husband said, I do usually wear makeup. I just, this is too early for me to find the time.
And I've started doing porn.
I discovered a new makeup free porn, everybody.
But then I feel funny about things like Botox. And again, if not judging anyone, I mean, I obviously am privately, but I'm not externally judging anyone else. If you want to go and have Botox, good for you, whatever you like. But for me, I'm like, I don't want to pretend I'm not the age I am. It feels weird to me.
That we can't age, that's the problem.
Yes, and I find it strange that... But then, am I being a hypocrite because I do wear makeup, which makes you look better in inverted commas, or is sort of supposed to?
It's so difficult. And the thing is, I was like, oh, maybe I won't get Botox. And I was like, I'll get a fringe instead. It's like, that's the same thing, isn't it? You're still trying to cover it up. It's, I don't, this, the whole show is, I don't know the answers, basically. And it's not us that needs to change, it's society. Like, it's like, all these companies are finding these ways of making us feel bad about ourselves and having to do these things. And the more it becomes the norm, the more everybody has to do it. And just the more money we're spending. It's crazy.
Yeah, I do a bit in our current show about, I went to Selfridges and I went to the Benefit makeup counter. And the first thing that the young... our sales assistant said to me was, tell me what you hate about your face.
Oh my God.
And I said, I can help out with this one. Pulled out my notebook.
Yeah. But I thought, and so my reply was, nothing, I really love my face. And she
You have a great face.
Thank you very much. But
she was like, I've never heard that before.
She looked at me like, but oh my God. Like, she just can't She looked at me like, but you... But have you seen yourself? No, yes, she was completely broken by me not saying that. But obviously that's the line she's been trained to use.
Yeah.
Because what is a woman going to say? Oh, I hate my eyes and I hate my lips. And she's like, well, I can sell you this shit and that will make you feel better. And so I just thought, that is it about the whole industry. That is the crux of it. We, you know, you are shit, but we'll make you less shit with all the shit that we're going to give you. It's a lot of shit. But, I find it really fascinating. But don't you think, you know, I think there are a lot of pressures on, you know, young women. And, you know, we've got, obviously, the trope is like, we talk about Love Island and no hair and very thin and all that sort of stuff. And young girls, doing Botox and fillers at 25. Mm. But on the same time, we've got these amazing kind of beacons of body positivity and there's some really great role models sort of counteracting that at the same time. And I think young women and young men can choose to follow, and there are much more realistic role models than there were when we were little, because the scope is bigger and the information is wider. Like, we just had Just 17, or in Australia it was Dolly magazine.
We had Kylie or Madonna, basically.
Yeah, you exactly know, right.
Slag or Neighbour. That was the options.
What if you're a neighbour but you're a slag?
Gosh, I think that was episode 479, wasn't it?
I'm very excited about the end of Neighbours. Sad, but think of all the celebrities coming in. Was Neighbours a big thing for you?
I loved Neighbours. Yeah, I did love Neighbours.
How old are you, Harriet? Can we?
35.
35, right? Yeah, so a couple of years younger than us. Months. You were into. So you were there for the Stefan Dennis years.
No.
Oh, you missed the golden era. But then you did, so you did grow up in a slightly different era to us, and in terms of like, when did sort of social media, when did that become a thing for you?
So that didn't become a thing until I think Facebook, I first got Facebook, I think when I was 19. And so thank God.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine the photos that would exist of me in the internet. Like, I don't think I would be able to leave the house. I don't think I would be able to have a job. I can't imagine the pressure. But then maybe there is a, like, in some ways there's maybe a good thing about that, because you have an ownership over how you behave, maybe a little bit. You have to be more aware. But then also
I've heard that, I mean, there's obviously still booze and drugs around in teenagers, but overall there's been a sort of a dip in that, because people are really vulnerable. They don't want to be taking a photo of them with their, you know, skirt around their waist and they're, you know, falling out of a cab. So there is a tiny bit of accountability.
Yeah, to be fair, I was doing all those things when I was 19 and beyond, so I guess that's not true.
There's some evidence.
I did not have any accountability at any age. But yeah, I think it's horrible to grow up with that kind of lens on you. It feels intense. I don't know.
Yeah. I know, I was saying this, Ellie and I were in a meeting the other day about, you know, social media and things, and my daughter's 13, and I show her the images that I put on Instagram and Facebook, because I think that eventually when she's on social media, she's going to see them anyway, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
But I got some new gear from Sweaty Betty, because they're sponsoring me for the London Marathon. I'm running the marathon, I don't like to talk about it. Anyway, so I did this, like, reel of me, like, dancing in a bikini in my shorts, and I showed Matilda and she went, oh no, why did you do that? Oh yuck. Oh, she's like, that is not for me. I was like, I'm really empowered, I'm got this bunny and I'm dancing around. She's like, well, no mum.
Well, I told you just last night, this was going to be my confession, but fuck it, we'll have it now, spoilers. But I was getting ready to go, we did a show last night at the Ivy House at the pub, and it's boiling hot in the Ivy House. It's going to put people off coming, but yeah.
Summer's done.
It can't be more than a week. So it's really boiling hot. So I put on just my running shorts, a little pair of running shorts. Not tight, not hot pants, not skimpy, just like loose, like quite 70s, like satin black.
Yeah, I like
black
them.
Shorts, nothing sexy. But they're quite short. And I put a blouse on, I think I had a blouson on.
Yes.
And I came downstairs.
Look, very smart, very smart.
It sounds lovely.
I think it was an excellent look. And Charlie said, I said, all right, Daniel, I'm going to work. And he went, in that. And I was like, he's 11. And I was like, yes. And he was like, in those shorts. And I was like, yes, that's right. And he went, they look like pants. And I was like, well... and I didn't know what to say, and then my husband piped up, leave your mum alone, she's got great pins. And I was like, thank you very much.
That's
and
brilliant.
He did like the eye roll to end all of the eye rolls, and just like, and I was like, that's 11, by the time I'm 15 he's going to be like hiding my car keys if I put a frock on, isn't he, if the boots are hanging out.
But they do, like, before I go on a date, like, you know, the babysitter will be there and the kids, and I'll come down and they're like, no, mum. I was wearing a little denim shorts, Topshop thing, and I came downstairs and my daughter said, it would look much better with a skirt over the top. I was like, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, they're quite.
That's not what you mean.
But we were talking to, we had a psychotherapist on recently called Dr. Angharad Rudkin, and she was saying that children don't want you to look too sexy, like that. The image of your parents, or even acknowledging that your parents have sex, is
my daughter's better watch out then. She's got a sexy mum.
Yes, I have told Pete to stop doing the school run in his gimp suit. It makes him feel uncomfortable. Well, look, speaking of all this, this brings me neatly on to, I'm going to reintroduce a section that we haven't had for a while.
Yes.
Sometimes, Harriet, when we have mothers who are younger than us, who've got new babies, because your baby's 6 months, and our eldest is 13, not that we had it together, that makes us
sound
we got a turkey baby.
Yes.
Our eldest,
I was the tummy mummy for that
13.
One. Yes, yes.
So this section is called Unsolicited Advice.
Ah!
This is where we get to give you advice you haven't really asked for and don't really want. Mm. But let's flip it. Is there something you'd like to ask us as incredibly old, wise, fully formed, flawless parents. Mm. We've been doing it for over a decade. We know everything there is to know about it. We never make any mistakes.
We wrote a book about it.
A fucking book.
We've done it. Oh my god. Yes. We've sold some copies.
It's not in print anymore.
No, it's not anymore. No. That's a shame.
Because it was too popular.
Yes, it was a limited edition. Yes, it's highly sought after. We didn't want to print too many. This is the thing.
Helen's book is still in print, listener, while Harriet thinks of a question.
Yes, my book is actually coming out on paperback on the 28th of July.
Yeah.
Get Divorced, Be Happy. It's done moderately well.
It's done brilliant well. It's a Sunday Times bestseller.
I don't like to mention it. Thank you for the clap. That was very, very nice.
I did write a chapter in it that probably pushed it over the edge. So, is there anything you'd like to ask us, Harriet?
I guess my problem is I just can't stop worrying and I can't give up any control. How do you do that?
Well, the bad news, I wrote a blog post about this, didn't I?
Yeah.
Years ago, called The Fear, because with my first child, I had quite a normal pregnancy. It was all very jolly and healthy. And then the birth, it was, you know, it hurt. It does smart a bit, as I'm sure you're familiar with. But it
a little tinge, yeah.
You know, it was over in 12 hours and I was back home the same day. It was no big drama. But then I found myself pretty overwhelmed with this fear. And I don't mean anxiety. I've never really had anxiety in terms of worrying about what I would say irrational things. But just sort of this fear of like, oh, right, here's this person. And yes, of course, worrying about all the things that, well, I've got to keep them alive and keep them safe and all that stuff. But I wasn't unduly worried about that. I was lucky enough that the breastfeeding works and all that stuff. But I was like,
I mean, look at your tits.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So I was like, but what I hadn't anticipated was that I was going to be worried about this other person's existence more than my own for the rest of my life, like wherever I went. That even if I went on holiday on my own, I would always be thinking about them and worrying if they were right. And God forbid they should go to bloody university. Or when I think the things I did in Southeast Asia when I was 19, do you know what I mean?
I don't want my children to do anything that I've done.
Yeah. And of course I was terrified, like you were saying, of dropping him or falling down the stairs or crashing the car or all of that. But it was a general sense of it. So what I'm saying is, yeah, it's awful. That's good advice, isn't it?
No, just accept it.
Yes, exactly. And
you learn to live with it.
And also the things that you fear the most, you know, the really awful things about them being hurt or you know, kidnapped or whatever, are so rare. Are just absolutely rare. And you know, and they will roll off the bed. They're going to do that once. You know, they're going to be okay. And I think just talking about it as much as you can. Did you do the NCT? Did you do like a baby group
thing? Yeah, I did a baby group thing because I was like, I literally don't know how to keep a baby alive. Like, I think other people were there to like meet people, but I was like, I really need this information.
Yeah. Where do you plug it in? Is it USB-A or USB-C? Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was one moment where you had to do the, you know, you had to like learn how to do the CPR thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then my husband did it so hard that the batteries flew out. Oh my god! And then I did it, and the same thing happened. I was like, "We're terrible parents. What's going to happen?" So I was like, "Oh, I don't know." But yeah, it was good to like learn that stuff. But then I also feel like I've immediately forgotten it. Mm. So I'm like, "So you're like, how? What are these things you do in an emergency?" But yeah, it's just I think it's just hard to let up control. I think maybe this is a dyspraxia thing. Like I've got quite black and white thinking, maybe, and so like the NHS advice was like, "Don't leave her in a room without." A baby monitor until they're 6 months. Like, don't leave them in a room without a person in it for 6 months. And everyone I know was like leaving them with baby monitors, and I just couldn't do it. And so I had to make sure that someone was in a room with her all the time, which was very exhausting for everybody else and for myself. But I just couldn't not follow the rules in case something happened.
Yeah,
it just felt too scary, or that I didn't know enough, or that if I'd made a mistake, I don't know. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I would say I don't have dyspraxia as far as I know, but I'm a person who likes a bit of control, and I like to be in control, and I like to plan things, and I like to, you know where stuff is, and I like things to be tidy and all of that stuff. And I think I've had to let go of a lot of that, and how I've managed that is not by just letting go of everything and going, well, I can't control anything, so fuck it, because that just makes you unhappy, I've found, but kind of picking the things that I can control, and then having to consciously and sometimes repeatedly decide not to give a shit about some of the other stuff.
Okay.
So as an obvious example, this room at the moment, I tidied it up because you were coming.
Oh my God, and I didn't it's so see nice.
My, but at the same time, it does annoy me, the microwave, and because we're in the kitchen, and
I
still
wondered
there.
What that was.
That's not a feature. I've still got a sideburn and a microwave in the middle of my lounge.
Right, yeah.
Which, but I've just, and there's
it looks kind of
there.
Cool though. It looks, I thought maybe it was a TV or something. I don't know, but no, it's
I should have said that. Now I've ruined the mistake.
Yeah, it's a microwave.
Not too many TVs have a door,
that's true.
Screen.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you
true.
Put things
it was just so perfectly presented.
It is,
like,
it's so,
like...
and so neatly, yes, neatly
and it's
done.
Just, yeah, there's bits of the barbecue over there, there's the old lampshade. It's like, but I sort of, yeah, but then, and then if you went upstairs, there's kids' shit just everywhere.
Yeah.
But I sort of had to go, right, well, what's the minimum control that I need to make me feel happy? And is achievable. And for me, it's like having a room at the end of the day, whether it's my bedroom or down here, that I can go in and sit in and there's no shit. There's no
one
kids shit.
One tidy space, that's a really yeah. good idea.
And
yeah.
that might mean, like, getting all the kids' shit, all the magazines and the fucking toys and the shit.
Throwing it out the window.
Throwing it, like, in at my husband.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But just putting it and not... And that was the thing, like, letting go of having to put everything away in exactly the right place
yeah.
all the time again. I'm just going to put that over here and I'm going to deal with that tomorrow because I'm knackered and I'm going to prioritise sleep and relaxation. And for me, relaxation is sitting in a nice, calm room.
Yeah,
and I've had
too.
To learn, but I've had to learn and practice that, like not, and then not sitting there going, oh, it's messy next door though, isn't it? But I've found with practice, it's feasible.
Yeah.
So just give it 10 years, you'll feel much better.
Just really try and give up.
Yeah.
Basically, okay,
just,
great.
Literally, that's what I'm saying, isn't it? Just choose
yeah.
what to give up and then work
yeah.
really hard at okay. giving it up.
I would get a couple of big cardboard boxes. What I do is I have one at the end of the kitchen table, and if anyone's coming over, just get one arm and just sweep what
oh,
is on
lovely.
The and just pop it in. So
yeah.
at the moment, there's two cardboard boxes just full of shit underneath the end of the table. But you know, I'm pretending they're not there. And then sometimes I have a nice clean surface. The other bit of unsolicited advice I would give you is swearing between midnight and 6 a.m. Anything goes. Anything
oh,
it goes, and when
one,
after
yeah.
after 6 a.m., you know, then you can say sorry. But in those hours, just call them a cunt. Just say all the things that you want to say, and then it's sort of forgiven. Like it's sort of erased.
What if you did it at 11:45, for instance, last night?
No, that's fine. Absolutely.
That's fine. That falls
what,
in the window. Okay,
can
great.
Can you?
Great.
I mean, what are some of the good things that you've said to each other? Go on.
I don't know. It's just so. It's so difficult to not. Like I don't know. Like I don't know if we've actually like. I think one of the things is just you realise how much you need the other person to...
Not be shit.
Not be shit.
Just don't
and
be
then
shit.
You
yes.
are shit and then they're shit. And then like I wrote, I think it is quite passive aggressive. Like I wrote, you know, like how flatmates like write a note like on the fridge or something.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't know how to keep saying, either I keep saying it or I write it down.
Mm.
And, like, if I write it down, then I don't know how to keep saying it. So I wrote down this like things to do like every day. And on it, it's like, open the curtains. Like the most.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. Come on.
It's so difficult.
Yeah.
But I went away for a couple of days and then I saw a friend of ours who'd come around and done a podcast and I was like, how is the house? And he was like, yeah, it's fine. And I was like, did you open the curtains? And he was like, no. He was like, no, I wonder why it was so dark. We just sat in darkness in the afternoon because he just wouldn't occur to him to open the curtains. And you're like, I don't know what to do.
Don't let go of that
curtains.
Shit. You're completely in the right.
That's
not one of the things you want to give
keep
up. That's
going.
Fucking
but
untenable.
But if he doesn't mind. But then I'm like, I don't want people to come around and just see our place in dark. Like, it just feels like they'll be like, they live in such a bleak place. Like,
they're
like,
vampires.
Exactly.
This
like,
is half of my house.
They'll never come
it?
Again. Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll be like, Harriet lives so bleakly.
You need to renew your vows.
There we go. We need to, again, the vows need to be, open the fucking curtains. How now? I will open
Come
the curtains.
No, we've all done, I just the other day, I did, so we have a system where I really like cooking, so I do all the cooking. I cook all the meals. That's fine by me. Love cooking.
You've got no issues with control. It's good. Yes. No.
Sorry. Well, yeah, but
yeah.
I care about food being good.
Yes,
I don't think that's control. I think I quite like chopping up onion. I'd rather chop an onion than, you know, actually mop a floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So it's Pete's job, and then Pete's job is to do the cleaning up and the dishwasher, which again, I don't mind because he likes to load the dishwasher in a certain way. And I don't feel the need to have any control about that because it's fucking pointless. Who gives a fuck? It's the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting into it now. But part of the clearing up after the meal is, for me, obviously you load the dishwasher, you wipe down the kitchen surfaces, and you wipe down the table, right? You wipe down the dining table because little crumbs get on it and drink rings and all of this. And I kept coming down in the morning and I'd get up before him and I'd be going to make the kids breakfast and the table would just be covered in bits of old milk and just like...
But that's the problem. That's how you start the day. And then you start the day and it's all there. And so you're like, I don't know how to start a day with like annoyance.
Yeah. And I can't put my computer... I sometimes get up really early and work and I can't put my computer on the cover. It's covered in fucking Cocoa Pops and all of this and stuff. But I was really good and I'd be like, oh, darling, when you clear the table, could you please, like, could you wipe the table afterwards? And again, you're biting because it feels like you're saying to someone, when you put your shoes on, would you tie your shoelaces? Because I just don't want you to die. Yeah. Do you mind? And he'd be like, and then he'd go, oh, did I not wipe the table? And I'd just go, no, you didn't wipe the table. And so this went on for a while. And then I come down the other day, same shit. And there was proper stains all over the table. So I took photographs. And it was like 6 a.m. So I took photographs of the stains.
Like a crime officer.
Yeah.
And like, what's happened to him? Going...
Upstairs. He was still in the same house.
He was a bed asleep upstairs. Going, please, wipe the fucking table. It's part of clearing up the kitchen. I don't know how else to say it. Here's the evidence. Please do it. And he came downstairs. And I knew he hadn't seen them. I hadn't had the blue ticks. And he's like, morning. And he's like, I was like, the table? And he's like, what? And I was like, you didn't wipe the table? And he went, oh, I'm sure I wiped the table. And I was like, oh, look at him, what's that? I knew you'd say that. But do you know what came down this morning? Guess what he was doing? Wiping the fucking table.
The boy is mad.
He was wiping the table at 4:30 a.m. before he went to the airport. And I was like,
oh,
good.
Because he didn't do it the night before?
Yeah. That's right, but
still,
again,
yeah,
I can let that go, Harriet.
As long as it's done before you get up, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't have to be done to my schedule as long as it's fucking done.
It's so difficult because I think before I was with Bob, like, I was like, I have learned as I've gone, like, how to do these things. Like, when I was younger, I was like very messy and I've had to like learn how to do these things, but he's not learned and I don't want to be teaching him. Like, it's so difficult because you're like, you just need to take, but I think the more one person relaxes, the more the other person has to be like, telling the other person what to do, and then the more they pull back, and so you're in this like dynamic where
should we just get divorced?
I
think the listener has noticed I've stayed very quiet during this time. I fucking love living by myself because everything is down to me. Everything is absolutely down to
me. You get to wipe your own table every day.
Ah, listen, lads. Look, the absolute joy. But also, I've made my kids do a lot more. And like the other day, I said to Hugo, we've got to, you know, stack the dishwasher. And the way he stacked it was extraordinary. Like, he got like the big plates and put them across the streams. Like, you know, there's two lanes. And like, but I didn't criticise. No. I was like, nah. And then when they, my daughter hung up a tea towel over the curtain rail. And I was like, okay, we're going to go with this.
Hey, at least she'd open the fucking curtain.
She fucking did. Yeah, look at her. Yeah. Look, she'll make a lovely husband one day. But I think that's it. And I'm a lot... I think, you know, I interviewed a woman called Sophie Haywood, who's a great writer in The Guardian.
I love her writing, yeah.
Yeah, and she had a child by herself, and she said it was really interesting when she had a young baby. She would hear all these couples resenting that he hasn't done this and why can't she do that? And she said, when you're a single parent, there's no one else to rely on. It either gets done by you or no one else. And so there was something quite freeing, even though you were tired all of the time, there wasn't that resentment. And that's one thing that I've really loved about living alone, even though I'm going to bed so much later and I'm going, if I don't put the PE kit in the fucking washing machine at midnight and get up and put it in the dryer, then my child won't be able to go to, well, she'll either have a wet t-shirt or a stinky t-shirt. So there's those sort of things. But yeah, I had to write myself my own passive aggressive list going, come on, you stupid bitch.
Do you want me to write you one?
Yes, if you could both come over and just go, honestly, how
we'll
can you live
pictures.
Like this?
Yeah, we'll take pictures and we'll WhatsApp them to
oh,
you.
Oh, yes, if you could,
And I think it depends on your partner as well. So all I moan about the table, Pete actually does do a lot. I would say we now, having worked in it for a long time, we have a pretty fair division of labour, The mental ladies shared a lot more now because we've talked a lot about that and done stuff about that. But I think you were doing a lot of work. Mm. You were doing the vast majority of the shit before anyway.
So I think, and often when single parents are replying to some posts and stuff like that, they were like, nothing's really changed, it's just become easier and I don't have to wash his clothes or look at his beard hair in the sink. So there is a freedom, I think, when you've got that, absolutely. But I'm going to keep trying to get my kids to be better because I was really fucking, like, my mum was the mum who in the morning, it was like Mary Poppins, the breakfast table was laid. There was a lace doily over the toaster rack and all that sort of stuff.
Tea towel hanging from the curtain rail.
Yes, exactly. As is tradition in the Thorne family. She was still tidy my room at 18. I do remember, though, when I started getting into the sex, she said, oh, I emptied your waste paper bin. So many condoms. She was like, oh, it was like a waterfall of condoms. I was like, yeah, surprise, not a virgin.
You're a tidy person.
Yeah.
Lovely, you just put them in the bin in your room as well. You didn't even try and hide them.
Oh, it was the external wrappers. You know, I did obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah, so it makes me feel slightly better.
Oh, that would be really skanky. Oh my God. I recently built my own bed. Because I thought it's time to get rid of the old extra, the ex's old bed. I was worried about, I was like, there have been incidences when I've had a gentleman caller over where we've just flung the condom just to be like, woohoo, we don't care afterwards. And I thought, I wonder how many condoms I'll find underneath the mattress. God, there's all sorts of filth.
Hang on, do you mean used condoms?
Yes. The first one we just throw into the air as a ceremony. No, like after we, tie a knot in it and then just throw it.
Who throws it? No. That's not funny. That's incredibly disrespectful.
What if it splattered against the wall? Like a water balloon or something.
Fucking spunk balloons around your house. You don't go to someone's house and eat a chocolate bar and throw the fucking wrapper on the floor.
Sometimes I do it.
I'm sorry.
What, you're whipping it off like you're a magician pulling a tablecloth out from under a tea set? Yes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, tie a little knot and go, woo. That was fun.
Okay, you said, yes, that's you disgusting. When you throw them.
What? Have you ever done that?
Absolutely not. You take it with the right amount of shame, and you wrap it in a paper, and then you put it in the bin.
Because it's quite a sad moment, right? It's all, the fun's over. Yes. It's deflating gently, isn't it? It's nestling back into its natural form, and then there's this sad little sort of cocoon around it, all sort of
wrinkly
and soggy. Yeah. Oh, don't tie a balloon in it. It's not a fucking party. Fashion it into a sausage dog.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Stretch it out, make a hat.
Well,
traditionally you throw the first one across the room.
Never heard anything like it. Listener, if this is a celebration, something you do, please do write in. I would genuinely love to hear from you. Right, first of all, that's disgusting. If you do it in your own house, Helen, yeah, but that's your business. If that's how you want to treat your house, I've been to your house, yeah, fine. Like, that's what you're going to do.
In my own room, I'm not doing it like on the sofa. Just in my
It doesn't
own...
matter.
Oh, okay.
It's a balloon of fun and spunk that you're throwing around your room, your house.
But in it with a knot.
Here's what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to your house.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to shit in a carrier bag.
No.
I'm going to tie a knot in it, swing it round my head, and then throw it under your bed. How's that? Hey, party time! How's that? That's what I'm going to do.
I dare you.
I'll go back to my
No, you're not.
If you do it,
yeah.
that's your own space, that's your own house.
Yeah.
But someone else doing that in your house, I would argue, is incredibly disrespectful.
Not if you're part of, like... I always thought that was kind of funny. Woo!
Who are these like a cowboy. People? Are you having sex with Russ Abbott? What is this? Love party with a bit of atmosphere.
Have you done this with one person or with multiple people?
A couple of times.
Fucking hell.
But often, you do the sex with in your family, and then you're like,
yes, save yourself. Hey,
and then you go, we don't need it for the other bits and bobs, and then you need a new one to pop back on again. Yeah, so then you get that one that hasn't been fully formed. And you're like, woo, we throw that one away.
Yeah,
no.
Somebody just say you do something like this.
Again, like if I'm eating a meal and I go, oh, I might, I don't really want the crusts of this sandwich. I don't just throw them on the floor. Have a different sandwich,
and that doesn't
and then
even have
fine.
Semen on it. Maybe. So, yeah, that's not even nearly as bad.
Okay, cool. Look, every day's a learning day.
More you share, the more you learn.
Yes, exactly right. Important. It feels better. Yeah. Thank you, Harriet.
Well, on that bombshell, literally the worst thing I've ever heard.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Let us now move, although I think we've maybe peaked. Let us move on to Scummy Mummy Confessions.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Now, I told my shorts pants embarrassing my son confession. Do you have one?
Yes. So listeners might know that I've been seeing a young Italian bloke on and off for the last year. And throughout the year, sometimes I surprise him with a present, right? So I'll send him something. So his first name is quite high up in the alphabet. So he's on my Amazon list. And the other day I thought, oh, I just need to bulk buy some cat litter because I'm about to go away for 6 weeks. And I did it quite quickly. So I didn't send 16 kilos of cat litter to my house. I sent it to my young Italian lover's house. So, and we haven't seen each other since his birthday and since I drank too many cocktails and disgraced myself. So
of
I'm going to
show you.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's really slow to reply to my text messages.
Do you think it was vomiting all over his apartment, or do you think it was ripping a condom off it, tying a knot in it and shouting, woo!
Only the universe knows this answer.
Did you vomit into a condom and tie a knot in it? Maybe that's acceptable. Who knows?
Yeah.
And also what I like is, and this isn't even the first time you've done that, is it?
No, this is the second time I've delivered some cat food.
I think he's a cat.
I think because we haven't seen each other for a little bit, I think he thinks it's my weird way of like.
Yeah,
sick.
You're one of those women
over.
That's like, oh, whoops, I sent you a list of things.
Oh, silly me.
Let me go and daintily go and collect all my cat litter from your house.
I think you can't even fucking lift it. Like,
I think you should order a new heavy thing every day to his house until he sees you. A wheel of Parmesan. An anvil.
That's right.
A microwave. You could send the microwave that I don't need anymore.
He lives on the third floor of the apartments as well. He's about thrilled. And it will be addressed to him as well.
He's not going to be able to get down the stairs because of all the cat litter.
That'll woo him back. Listen, ladies, you can learn a lot from me.
Yeah. You know the way to a man's heart.
Oh,
so that's
dear.
My Scummy Mummy confession.
Harriet, have you accidentally sent any heavy objects to any of your lovers lately?
No, but I did try and take my baby to a festival.
Oh.
And so I just assumed babies could go to festivals because whenever I've done like Latitude or whatever, there's babies.
Oh yeah, it's all very hip and
it's all very
cool.
Fine. Yeah, so I got my baby all dressed up. I got her in like a flower crown and we were going to, in Herne Hill, they had all these festivals on over the summer.
Yeah.
So I queued up, I got us tickets, like my friends were there and we got to the front and they were like, what are you doing? Why do you have a baby?
Was it Hoopla?
No, it turned out it was an alt-rock festival. that I had tried to bring my baby into. I was sent away with the baby, and then we were like, maybe we can like break in, you know, like with
just
the baby.
Just chuck the baby over the fence. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The baby, you get around in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a no. Yeah. So it just felt so humiliating to be like standing there with a baby that was like clearly dressed for a festival, and there were absolutely no children. It was quite hardcore music.
Did you not want to go?
It was like, I was like, what is wrong with me?
Could you not go back like dressed as a pregnant lady, just with like have the baby lower down and just cover
it? That's a good
idea. Put the baby in just some big trousers. And like a jacket with you, back past the arms, just a little head poking out, like a scarecrow.
Dressed as a dog. I don't know, taking a leash.
We could have helped you out, Matt. Again, we could have brought you up for some unsolicited advice.
I think we need a WhatsApp group for Harriet.
Well, Harriet, so when and where can people come and see your Edinburgh show?
So it's at the Fringe in Edinburgh at Monkey Barrel at 9:10 every night, and then it's at Soho Theatre, and then touring the UK, and there's tickets at HarrietKemsley.com.
We're on at 7:40 from the 18th of August to the 27th. So we'll finish at 8:40. So we can come and see your show.
Yes.
We can come and see your 7:40 on.
Yeah.
Thank you, please. So we'll be on the Underbelly. So go to scummymummies.com or the Underbelly website for tickets for that. I think it's cheaper than the normal show as well, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about 15 quid.
It's about 23. So it's an absolute bargain. It is shorter, but let's not do the maths now. That's tedious.
No. We'll double the jokes. And again, my paperback is out, Get Divorced, Be Happy, and I am running the London Marathon. Please do sponsor. It's for the wonderful charity Gingerbread, who help single parents, so that's pretty cool. And we're on tour afterwards, aren't we, Ellie?
Yes, we are. We're having a little break in September, but then we're back on the road in October. We're going to Nottingham, we're going to Stroud,
Dorking,
Worthing, where else? Loads of places.
And we're going back to Bath. The big two nights in Comedia, which is going to be amazing.
Oh, nice.
And we've even booked almost all of our shows up to November 2023.
We've even booked to December 23.
December, yeah. So not all of those are on sale or on the website yet, but keep an eye out because we'll be announcing those, you know.
And Northerners, we're going to Newcastle. Is that north enough for you?
All right. We're still trying to go to Manchester. It's unreasonably hard. I don't really know
why. We're going to Birmingham. Anyway.
Lancaster we're going to.
Yes, that's northern.
Lincoln. Right. Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Well, congratulations on having all your parenting problems solved as well. You're very welcome.
I can't believe it.
Who and your marriage, obviously.
Obviously, it's all fixed. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Absolutely, and I think it gets looser and looser the older you get. I'm just about to sneeze. It'll come, so it's nice to warn you in advance.
Exciting.
Yes, very much so.
And now we're all tense.
Yeah,
there's an awkwardness in the air.
Oh, no.
Do you want to just do it and then it's...
No, I can't force it.
Go on, just do it.
Achoo! That's
you
weird.
No, it's
tickling. Anyway.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.